This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Ivy Hillier.
Is the better? After having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, we are in a kind of a mini series of lessons on taking responsibility. And so we want to talk today about taking responsibility for your success. This would be part two. We started on last week we read out of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is a different type of series because normally when I'm teaching a series, I'll use the same text over and over again as I'm adding on to it. But I'm going to be a little different this time. In Job 36 and 11, this is a passage that really blessed my life when I read it years ago. And it really kind of gave me encouragement for what I was doing. Verse 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their what? Days in prosperity and their what? Years in pleasure. Now, I look at the person's Bible next to you if they got, you know, everybody got these automatic, these technical Bibles and all those things. But if they got a real holy Bible, they ought to have this page marked. Anybody got this page marked? Got that scripture marked? Wave at me. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. These are real folk at the New Light Church. No, seriously now. Just seriously now. You know, I was kind of brought up. Yeah, I mean, kind of brought up. You brought up, you wasn't brought up. I was brought up under this cloud that serving the Lord would pay off. Come on, y'all know what y'all said. After a while. And that after a while was basically in heaven. Isn't that right? And we're almost taught not to think life would be better for me now serving the Lord. And almost to think life would be better was almost like sacrilegious. And so you were almost downed if you wanted something better through the kingdom of God. Amen. And so when I read this, I mean, I almost had to do a double take years ago because it's so clear. Now, if one thing, all of the helicopter haters and this, all this, if one thing that brought clear to me was that even though people are in church, they don't understand the Bible. I guess that's what amazed me. The Bible says there are three classes of people. There's the natural man who's unborn, who's not born again. There's the saved man who doesn't understand the scripture. The Bible calls them carnal people. And then there's the spirit man, the person who walks in the spirit. But I think the thing that bothered me, if anything bothered me, was that the ignorance that's in the body of Christ. Now, I didn't call nobody ignorant, so don't be, if you tell us, there's ignorance in the body of Christ. And we're not saying that we know it all. But on something as simple as, does God want me to do well? Does God want me blessed? Does God want me to be successful? Does God want me to prosper? Something that simple. I would have thought that folk would have had it by now. I mean, because it's not like it's a new teaching. I mean, I've been teaching it for 30 years, and there were folk teaching it before me. I thought they would have it by now. So I go to the Lord. I say, and Lord said, no, I don't know why you think that. You still got to preach salvation. Man. They don't have that. I know that. When the Lord talked to you, it makes sense. I said, well, I understand that. So there needs to be an ongoing teaching on this because that's the only way you're going to bring people to a place of understanding. And that's the only way you're going to encourage folk who already know, because many times you already know it, but you need more encouragement, you need more enlightenment, and that's what this lesson is about today. It's about the persistent and the perpetual pursuit of prosperity. Everybody say perpetual suit. Perpetual. Yeah, it's a perpetual pursuit of prosperity. And when we talk about prosperity, we're talking about whole life prosperity, not just money. That God wants me to do well. He wants you to do well. Well, why come I'm not doing well? I love the Lord. I heard you. And that's why you're listening to me. Because the promises of God are received by faith. The will of God doesn't automatically come to pass. And see, that's what people, when they don't have, and they look at you and you have, then you say, well, it's the will of God. When they go, well, if it's the will of God, then I ought to have it too. I know, I used to think that way. Come on now, I know. I used to think that way. And I've been converted. Everybody say you've been converted. I want to get you converted too. Amen. Oh, now y'all looking at me like that. You know, okay, now make all the ladies. See, you know what used to call male chauvinists? I used to be one of them. You can see them ladies going, no, really, I'm serious. I was brought up like that. I was brought up by older men who did not have a great respect of the value of women. Really, that a woman was almost like your property. Some of y'all get mad. I've been converted. That's my point. I'm talking about my point. I've been converted, you understand? But that's how I was brought up, you understand? See, Bridget never would cooperate with me, though. Because the old man told me, you tell her to sit down. And Bridget looked at me like, are you crazy? Then I read the Bible. No, here's where I'm going. I read the Bible. And when I started reading the Bible, I saw the value God placed on women. You got it? And I got converted. I said, oh, no. I've been wrong on this. And now I'm going to change. Amen. And I got to tell you, when I first did it, and when I first started having Bridget as my partner, boy, preachers in town got all mad with me. Because now it was shedding light on them. Because a lot of times they had their wives in the background and that sort of thing. But I brought Bridget up front with me and, you know, I started valuing her and that sort of thing. And, you know, a lot of other women start going, yeah. Then I wrote a book called Daughters of Destiny. And if you can get your hands on that book, it talks about scripturally the value that God places on women. And it changes, I think it changes the view of woman having herself, but it also changes the view of men. And I've given that to a lot of pastors, and man, they changed. They had to change. Well, I'm saying it's just like this with the Word of God on prosperity. Word of God on prosperity is so clear. You got to try to intentionally, got it, stay in darkness on it. If prosperity is bad for us, then we should not see in the Bible in any way of God talking to us about it in a positive way. Did everybody get that? If it's bad for us, then God should not be talking to us about success and prosperity in a positive way in the Bible. If it's bad, like folks saying, it's all bad, when we shouldn't see it. Amen? But now what we're going to see in the lesson today, we're going to see it's real clear. Here are my points today. Point number one is going to be, kingdom success is the Father's order. Everybody say order, O-R-D-E-R. It's God's order. It's God's order. Secondly, kingdom success is the fruit of obedience. Number three, kingdom success is faith orchestrated. And then finally, if we're good class, kingdom success is a faithfulness overflow. It's the overflow of my faithfulness. Now, I understand why there is confusion in the body of Christ, because you can turn on Christian television and you got one guy on here talking about prosperity. Got it? Then the next guy come on here saying it's wrong. Got it? And they're both using the same Bible. So it lends you to say, well, now who's right? You know, this guy had much passion about him, his prosperity. He teaching God wants you blessed, blah, 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 blah. Then here come the next guy saying, that's wrong. I don't want you blessed. God wants you to suffer this thing out. Give it up all. Give up everything for him. I mean, so you go, well, who's right? They both love Jesus. Well, you have to get to the point where you let the scripture speak. Where you got to look at the scripture in context and you let it speak. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a guy in town who called me up because I left the Baptist denomination. Thank God Baptists now believe in filled with the Spirit. A lot of people do in speaking tongues. But back at that, 30 years ago, they were not. So God told me to start Independent Word of Faith Church where I'd have the freedom to do what he called me to do. And so, of course, it was a lot of controversy, and guys were saying, here he was a heretic, and he is a cult leader, blah, blah, blah. So one preacher had the nerve to call me up. Say, hey, everybody, I'm scared of you, but I ain't scared of you. Get your Bible. We're gonna work this thing out. Get your Bible. I said, you sure you want to do that? He said, yeah, get your Bible. We're going to talk about this tongues thing. We're going to look at this tongues thing, and I'm going to show you you're wrong. I said, okay, now, if we're going to do this, we're going to let the Bible be the judge. We're not going to look at no Sunday school quarterly. We're not going to look at nobody's commentary. We're going to let the Bible speak. Oh, yeah, we're going to let the Bible speak. And I started walking them through that word, just showing the word that there is a language that God gives a person when they get filled with the Holy Spirit that man does not understand. And when I had got him pinned down, he said, but Dr. So-and-so, I said, no, we're not going with what Dr. So-and-so said. We're going with what you see clearly here in this word. Yes. Of course, he refused to be converted. No, folks, see, you're just bullheaded. I am when it comes to the scripture. Because he could not disprove my point. You follow me? And so the Bible says, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. That's what I don't like about him. That's what I don't like about him. No, see, this is so valuable point, because if you're not expecting prosperity and success, then the quality of life God has for you, you're going to miss. And I hate to see you miss it when you could have had it. And you're going to get to heaven, you follow me? And going to say, look back, say, I could have had a whole lot. All right, now, Job 36:11 says, if they what? Obey and what? Serve him. Then what's going to happen? Spend a day's prosperity and their what? Years. Okay, now watch this. If God did not want me to expect years of pleasure, days of pleasure, years of prosperity, years of pressure, days of prosperity. He didn't want me to have this. He wouldn't have put it in the Bible. Can we agree to that? All right, now, the purpose of it is not just to heap it upon myself, but so that I can always be abounding in the work of God. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all taking me away from where I want to go, but I got to go there. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you're always having all sufficiency. Y'all there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Amen. Verse 8. That you're always having all sufficiency. Does it look like God want me to be broke? He makes grace abound toward me so that I will always have, watch this, all sufficiency in what? Come on, does that sound like God doesn't want me to have anything? He wants me to have all sufficiency in all things. Look at the purpose. May abound to what? Every good work. Because God knows that when his people who love him, when they are prosperous, their needs are met, then they can promote his agenda in the earth. Amen. Now, even though you know, I love the Lord and you love the Lord, when you get ready to go buy things in the world, that's not the currency that they use. Do you love the Lord? When you go to the checkout counter, do you love the Lord? Say, yes, I love the Lord. They don't say, okay, well, pass right on through. Take your goods. So neither in the world, when we buy television time, television equipment, and that sort of thing, they don't care if we love the Lord and getting folks saved. They want to know, where are the resources? Okay, y'all, where the money? That's what they want to know, okay? Well, now, if God's folk don't have it, how are you going to do what you need to do? I got to tell you, the light company, they don't care how much we love the Lord. They will shut these lights off if we don't have money. See, so in the, not just thinking naturally, it doesn't make sense to think that God doesn't want you to have. All right? Let's look at the scripture a little bit more. Go over to your Bibles now, and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, because any contradiction can be cleared up with the word of God if rightly divided. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. Doctrine has to do with the order of God, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we're going to use the word of God, and it is going to, everybody say, for doctrine. Doctrine is the order of God. It's going to give us God's order. Now, John 10:10, let's go there, because even though I've quoted it many times, I think people need to see it. John 10:10 says, are you there? All right. The thief. Are you there? The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. So God wants me to have abundant life. Now, Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Because what we're looking at is kingdom prosperity is defined in the word of God. It is all through the word of God. All right? So abundant life, prosperity, success, all of those are synonymous terms. So Jeremiah 29 and 11, and I want to read this. I'll read it out both out of the Amplified, the King James, and the New International Version. Because it's so clear that God wants you blessed. Everybody say, God wants me blessed. Now, you wouldn't think I have to take this time, but I got to take the time to lay the foundation. And that's so your faith doesn't rest in any man's opinion. It rests in what the word of God says. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Amplified says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Now, the New International Version, and guess what, class? I brought my iPad. Bridget would be happy. All right, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. All right, let's go to some other passages. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because when I look at this plan, when I look at the word of God, I can see that kingdom prosperity, not it's different from the world's, but kingdom prosperity is ordered by God. It's okay. Everybody say it's okay. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. All right, are you there? All right, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is, oh my God, it is he that giveth thee power to get what? Wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, you don't have to go to the Hebrew, the Shebrew, or the Greek, or any of that. It's he that gives you power to get wealth. So if wealth was bad, why would he give you the power to get it? Look at the person and say, he reading that Bible. Say, he reading that Bible. He reading that Bible. Amen. All right. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Because when I look at the word of God, I can see with clarity and all throughout the Bible that increase is on God's mind for me. Everybody say increase is on God's mind for me. All right. In Mark chapter 10, again, if and like, cause we're going to break down this whole thing in a minute, because we're going to talk about how people misrepresent the scripture to try to prove a point. All right, Mark chapter 10, when Peter was saying, verse 28, Peter began to say, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Well, Peter said, you see, you're supposed to leave it all. You're supposed to leave all and follow God. Do you see what Peter says? Peter says, Lord God, we have left all and have followed you. But you can't stop reading now. All right? And Peter answered him and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house and brethren and sisters and father and mother and wife and children and lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now. Come on, when? Now. Not over yonder. Now. But he said, whatever you give up for me now, I'm going to give it back to you now in a hundredfold. How you misunderstand that? Watch this. He says, you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren. Everybody say houses. So why have you settled for one house when God said he'll give you more than one? Brethren, sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with. Okay, there it is. There it is, with persecution. And in the world to come, what? What you say? Do you mean to tell me God says I can live large here and I'm going to live large over yonder? Years ago, when Bridget and I built a dream house that we believed for, and we built it, and God comes to the door. The house was built. It's a nice house, three stories. It's, you know, it's nice. So the guy comes to the door. Look like you got your heaven right here. Now, what you gonna do when you get to heaven? I said, I'm gonna be different from you. I'm gonna know how to act. Gotta love me. So he's trying to put me down. See, but you. You know, y'all know, don't play me. You follow me? Don't play me. But my whole point is, all through the Word of God. Let's look at another passage. Because when I have kingdom prosperity, my priorities are balanced. I don't fall in love with money. I know the use of it. My purpose is balanced, and that is, I know I'm in the earth to bless others. I got balanced principles. I rightly divide the word of God. I don't have to take a scripture to stretch it to establish kingdom prosperity. It's all through the Bible. Got it? And there's a balanced process. Everybody say balanced process. Because the Bible does not teach getting rich quick. It does not teach that. All right? Now, go over your Bibles to Psalms 115. Psalms 115. I don't want you to get shaken by what you hear other folks say, because you're not grounded in the word. And some of y'all don't read your Bibles till you come to church, so I have to help you. Amen. Well, no sense in getting mad, because some of y'all know, you, when you got ready to go this morning, you couldn't hardly find, why my Bible at? Hey, man, I know, I love you. Amen. All right, now look at verse 14, right? It says, the Lord shall increase you. How? Come on, don't be afraid. How? More and more, you. I don't have to go to the Hebrew. I don't have to go to the Shebrew. I don't have to go to the Greek. The Bible says the Lord. He said he want to increase you more and more. Now, you know what that means. That means, whatever you got right now, God say, I'm going to give you some more. Amen. Then once you get that, he say, I want to give you some more. Yeah. Then whenever you get that, he say, I got some more for you. All right. So kingdom prosperity is defined in the word. Kingdom prosperity is different from the world. Now go with me to the Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's different from what the world's prosperity. The world's prosperity is where you measure yourself by your stuff. In other words, you measure your worth by the stuff you have. You follow me? The world's prosperity is fueled by greed and ambition. Got it? Our prosperity is fueled by our desire to please God, to promote the kingdom of God. Amen. See, when we give, we know we're promoting the kingdom of God. You couldn't do all the stuff we're doing if we was broke. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, where'd I tell y'all go? First step. Now, this is the scripture a lot of people take and they just twist it. I just don't understand it. They twist the scripture because, all right. Where'd I tell you go? All right. Look there with me in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? High-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us all things to what? What you say? Now, two things in there. He says, now, don't be like the world. They trust their riches. Okay, now let me tell you, he said, well, how if I know I'm trusting my riches? Does your attitude change when your bank account gets low? Okay, that's too touchy there. See, it's easy to say you trust God when you got money. No, I remember when I quit my job, I was going into full-time ministry. I had a bankroll. I had a bunch of money saved. I was in faith. Yeah, praise the Lord. Man, go glory to God. Oh, that money, we went through that money so quick. Then I really had to trust him. I learned how to trust him when you got zero. See, so what you got to do is you got to start checking your attitude when your bank account start getting low. Because now that's telling you what you really trust. But y'all remember my picture story, the story with the pitcher and the river? Okay, some of y'all don't. It's like going to the river, filling your pitcher with water, going to the house, pouring the water out of the pitcher. If you get focused on the water in the pitcher, as the water level gets low, you get worried. But once you know and are focused on, I know how I filled the pitcher before. I'm focused on the source, which is the river. It doesn't matter how this goes up and down, because I know when I need more, I know where to go in. Amen. So I have a contentment where I can praise him. You follow me? I got my joy regardless of how much money I got at my I have available to me in the natural at any one time. Did y'all get that? I didn't bungle that up, did you? It fumbled out, but I. So. The third part of this first point, I don't know if I'm gonna get anywhere on this today, and that is, first of all, it's defined in the word. It's different from the world's, because the world trusts they trust in their riches. Got it? Bible said don't do that. But then I think it's distorted, the whole prosperity message, the prosperity from the Bible, kingdom prosperity, it's distorted by what I call the warped people. Warped. And we have warped people on both sides. You got warped people who got this extreme prosperity message. The extreme prosperity message says that, listen, because I got money, I'm more spiritual than you are because you're broke. That's wrong. Because that's the case, Bill Gates is spiritual, more spiritual than all of us. If money is the key, money does not have anything to do with the level of your spirituality. But there are people who do that because when they have it, you know, they want, that's that marriage bad. I must be better than you. Well, you're wrong. Amen. Now, second, in this extreme prosperity, and they're warped and they're thinking that my money now exempts me from service. That I don't have to serve. I don't have to do none of the stuff the rest of these people around here do. I don't have to do that because I give my tithes, my offerings. So I pay for somebody else to do this. I ain't coming up. You think I'm gonna clean a toilet? With how much? You know how much tithe I give? I ain't got nothing to do with it. Bible says clearly that I have a responsibility of serving him, and I serve him regardless of what I have. Yeah. On the other hand, you know, those who have this poverty theology, they go south when they start talking about, okay, because I don't have, God loves me more. No, he don't. I ain't the Bible. You can't find it nowhere in the Bible. All right? Also, their thinking is, those who do have, they did something wrong to get it. No, that's it. Because that's the way to despise those who have. And there's, I'm telling you, it tickled me. I talked about it on Wednesday night. The Bible says, when they had me on television, they said, he's rich. I ain't never told nobody I was broke. He's rich. I'm going, wait a minute. This is... I sit there and I laugh and say, this is kind of funny. I've been working for this company for over 50 years. Watch it. And I'm telling you how to be successful. Well, if I've been working at it for 50 years and it ain't worked for me, why would you even listen? Watch this. The underlying thing is he had to do something wrong to get it. Well, why would you make that assumption? Wait a minute. Mathematics would tell you I should be doing better than the guy down the street with 20 members. I got 20,000. Hold on. Mathematics. I got 6 locations. And a whole lot of folks will love me. Amen. A whole lot of folks will love me. Amen. So just think. The guy who has 50 pizza houses will probably be doing better than the guy who has one. Doesn't mean he had to rip anybody else off to do it. It just makes sense. Then my whole thing here with my people is, you know, from day one, I get what you check on the box. You check it, that's what I get. So that's why, you know, it don't bother me what folks say. Because what I got, my members wanted me to have. All right, let me move on. Now, Isaiah 119 says, if you be willing and what? You what? If you be willing and obedient, you what? Good land. So now, the poor, and we read Job 36:11 says, if you owe what? Obey and serve him, you eat you, spend your what? Days in prosperity and your years in. And now, God expects us to obey him. And when we obey him, let's go to Isaiah 119 so we can see it. I've gone a little slower on this than I want to go. But here's the key. The thing is, my obedience success is the fruit of obedience. Everybody say success is the fruit of obedience. Okay. Now, God expects me to obey his covenant. What I got written in the word, he expects me to obey it. Got it? That's taught in the Old Testament. How many know God wants you to obey him? Do I have to go down that road? Do I have to prove that? No. One scripture ought to do it, right? Isaiah 119. If they what? Obey and serve him, they spend their days in prosperity, their what? Years in pleasure. All right. Here's what obedience does. Obedience is an action step that distinguishes my level of proclaimed lordship. And what obedience does, it positions me both naturally and spiritually to receive blessings of the Lord and his favor. Everybody say obedience. God wants me to obey his covenant. Watch this. And he wants me to obey his calling. That when he tells me to do something. Got it? And when he tells me to do something, and this is how God does. He doesn't always tell you the end. I wish he would. My Lord, I wish he would, but he doesn't. He tells you in part. He only gives you a part. You follow me? If he tell you the whole picture, then, you know, then during the rough times, you kind of handle it, hang in there. But he doesn't tell you that. He just tells you, I want you to take this step, and you got to take the step that you know. And then, you know, after you take this step, then you got to take the next step. Then you got to trust him at this level, and you take the next step. But all of the while, let me tell you what he's doing. He's putting you in the right place so that you can be blessed. All right. We started in the Crown Park building, And God told me in the early days, we'd have multiple locations. And he told me we was on Jensen, told me to leave Jensen. And we'd have, we would first start out by being in the north and south. But he didn't tell me which one. He just said north and south. So that's why the Bible says you ask, you seek, and you knock. So I'm in my knocking stage, seeing what door is he going to open. So we go out to the, we drive all over the south, no witness. Drive all in the north. And then Bridget gets a witness about this, the warehouse over here. And I say, that can't be God. So she didn't argue with me. She said, I would just pray about it. And so I got a witness that it's God. But I have no money. How much money I say?
No.
I have no money. Okay. But now I got to take a step. Why? Because once I got the witness from God, that's why I want you. Then I can't say, well, God, I would do that, but I ain't got no money. He gives you more on your way than he does before you start. It's amazing while I'm teaching, because all my students here who've heard me say before, they be shaking their head. Preaching right along. Watch this. So I go and I sit there before the man and I cut the deal. You got it? Now, God didn't tell me the man gonna take my deal. But I got to have the boldness and the courage to make the step. I got to obedience. See, obedience put me in front of the man that God would touch, whose heart he would touch. And so after I laid out my thing, the guy said, write me a check. He told me what to down first month, last month, because he was going to have to do like $250,000 of remodeling back then. And I forget what it was, $20,000 or whatever it was. I told Bridget to write a check, then I held the check in my hand as the man held the other end. I said, this check is no good. What am I doing? I'm going as far as my integrity can take me. I'm not going to drop a hot check on this man. And then when he called me and said, check my, man, I don't know what's wrong with these banks. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to go as far as my integrity going to take me, because I'm obeying God as much as I can. God expects us to obey him to the T. Everybody say to the T. And he expects me to obey him even in tough times.
Yes. Amen.
So that's like, everybody like kind of like the way, you know, things get real nice. My time is gone. I can't believe y'all must have been slow. I didn't get but the 2 points.
Give it to the third point.
I got to close. I just can't, you know, I just can't just cut you off. I got to close. You don't open folk up in the operating room and have the operation. Got another appointment. Got to go. And leave them on the operating table all cut open. You don't do that. You don't do that. So you got to close it up. Let me close it up. See, God gives, he gave Saul specific instruction. Saul, I want you to go there, do this, this, this. Saul went part of the way. That's why, you know, I know God told me this is to be a teaching center. Our church is to be a teaching center. I can never get away from teaching.
Amen.
Never. That's what God told me to do. Follow me? And so he told me to teach. He told me that our ministry, years ago before we could even afford television, he told me we'd be on television. That's how I'm to take the gospel around the world by way of television. He told me I was supposed to do that. Follow me? So there are certain things that I know I'm supposed to do. So I can't let the pressure of anybody force me off of it. Now, Saul, Bible says, Saul went and he gathered, he killed, he overcame the Amalekites. And then instead of doing everything exactly like God said, he let the folk talk him out of it. So that preacher called me and says, are you going to back off of prosperity? Because I say, man, are you out your mind? The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies be at peace with him. The worst thing New Light could do is try to become some other church. We are a prosperous church. We believe in kingdom prosperity. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Everybody say, and we not changing. All right, now watch. Let me go. I got to close. Well, now next week I'm going to talk about it's faith orchestrated. Now that's the key. That's why a lot of folk didn't understand. And that's what I had to understand. Because, you know, once I followed Bible, I said, well, how come I don't have it? Well, then the Lord told me, he says, now, because it's according to your faith. That's why you should major on. How many of you love the Lord? Just love the Lord. You love the Lord. Great. Good. All right, watch this. You love the Lord. The Lord wants you. I done showed you enough in this Bible to show you that God wants you blessed. He wants you to have. He wants you to have abundant life. All your needs met. I've already showed you that, right? Well, he said, the question is, how do I get that? It's received by faith. And faith has to be intentionally studied. So you got to study this thing. This didn't happen because I read a few scriptures. I intensely began to study how to use my faith. And I had faith fights. Got it? Won some, lost some. Everybody say won some,
won some.
Lost some.
Lost.
Now the ones I lost, I can't blame God. Amen. I lost some faith fights because I just gave up in the middle of it. Because in the early days, I didn't have the stamina to stand. And if stuff didn't happen quick enough, I just changed my mind. But then I learned how to stand. I learned how to stand even when things didn't look like it, because I found out I did not have to know how God was going to pull stuff off. I got confident that if I just stand here long enough, the Lord knows how to put everything together. Watch this. And I'm willing to trust him to do it. So we're going to study faith. Everybody say faith. And then next week we're going to get to faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Now faithfulness then is my ability to hang in there. If you obey and
serve.
So God's asking us for something. Everybody say God,
God
is asking us for something. Now listen, I'm not getting ready to raise an offering, so you just be relax on that. What is he asking? He's asking you for your obedience, and he asks you for your service. So when he asks you for your service, he's asking you for your talent.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And he's asking you for your time.
Yes.
So he says, if you give me your obedience, give me your talent, give me your time, I'm going to do something for you.
Yes.
Wait a minute, what you going to do for me, God? I'm going to let you spend your days in what?
Prosperity.
In prosperity. In other words, you're going to do well in your days. And then your years, you're going to enjoy them. Watch this. Everybody say, whenever God asks me for something, it's never to deplete me, only to increase me. That's it. That's it. Whenever he asks you something. And right now, I want you to get out your mind the money part, because that's what bogged you down. The money part bogged you down, and you think, I'm trying to get an offering. Not trying to get an offering. If I'm going to raise an offering, I would have told you in the beginning, I'm going to raise an offering. I ain't got no problem with raising an offering, because that's what I got to do. That's part of my assignment. But what I'm trying to tell you now, many more of you, it ain't your money God wants. He wants your heart. That's what he wants. And he says, listen, if you will just obey me and you will start serving me, I got a guarantee I'm going to give you. I'm going to let you spend your days in prosperity and your, oh my God, how you going to pass that up? Who else makes that kind of promise to you? What other philosophy makes that kind of promise to you? The same Bible that you're depending on to get to heaven is the Bible that tells you, hey, baby, obey me and serve me, and I'll make you a promise. You can spend your days in prosperity and your
years.
Whenever God asks you for something, it's only so he can take it and bless it and give it back to you in a greater measure. He asked Moses for his rod. He takes the rod. He blesses it, gives it back to Moses. Moses parts the Red Sea. He asked the lad for his lunch. He takes the lunch. He takes the fish and the loaves. He blesses it, and he gives it back to him in a greater measure. The prophet asked the widow for her cake. He takes the cake. He eats the cake. He speaks the blessing, and the meal barrel overflows, and the oil overflows. Whenever God asks you for something, it's only so he can take it and bless it and give it back to you in a greater measure. He asks Peter, let me use your boat. He takes Peter's boat, preaches from it, then takes the same boat that Peter had used and failed and takes him into the same place where he had failed, and he gets a boatload of fish. Whenever God asks you for something, it's not to hurt you, but it's to take it and bless it and give it back to you in a greater measure. God wants your heart today. And I'm here today to tell you God is asking for your heart. But before you make a decision, can I testify? I gave him my heart years ago. My. In Miss Rachel's house. As a little boy, I gave him my heart. And I've been walking with God. My. Oh my God, I've been walking with God over 50 years. I can declare to you today, if you will obey and you'll spend your in prosperity and your years in. Well, hear it. Are you saying you've never had it rough? Oh, I had it rough. Are you saying you never had any dark days? Perhaps some dark days, but through it all, I'm better off today than I was years ago. The question is, who's willing to obey him? Who's willing to serve him? Who's willing to give him their heart? If you do, you will not regret it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you.